first row, second row, Barbara. Let us pray at this time. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful that you are here, Lord. We love you. We want you very much. We're waiting for your coming, Lord, on a white cloud. When you're coming to collect your bride that's been prepared by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that time is so very short. I almost consider it in weeks, Lord, or even months. We don't know, of course. But, Lord, we know that you are coming, that we are sure of. Help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be testimonies for Christ, for whomsoever we meet. Put the words in our mouth, the love in our heart for them. Lord, to have compassion that some people need. Help us to provide that, that can encourage other brothers and sisters on the way. Bless the people that listen in on the internet to this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let us sing number 229, I Serve a Risen Saviour.
I serve a risen Saviour, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy here. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to come. You are.
Truth though, isn't it? It's good to know that He's there. Anytime you can call His name. Number 227 is My Heart Can Sing. Do you know that one, brother? Oh, good. My heart can sing when I pause to remember.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember. A heartache is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home.
Let's sing one more and then we'll see if there's any testimonies. Number 145, Jesus is a way to salvation, the way, the truth, and the life.
Jesus is the way to salvation, the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you.
may be seated. Arms outstretched, he's calling you, tenderly calling you. You know, he does that even after you've made your decision. He's still calling you. Because if you're like me, a little bit remiss at times, and he calls you. Do we have any testimonies that anyone would like to tell us about? Sister Barbara. I know that girl.
A few weeks ago, I testified about how I just know God's with us every minute of the day, and we go on our normal way and do what we're going to do, but God's guiding us. I'd rung a lady to see if she had some certain books that I required, and she did. So I said, oh, well, I'll come and pick them up about 9 o'clock Thursday morning. And in between time, I'd found other books which were quite suitable, and I nearly rang and said, look, I won't pick yours up, but just something said, go around. Leave it, go and pick up her books. So I went round Thursday, and her husband was talking out the front with another man, and so I went and called in the first door, no answer, and called in the second door, went to the second door and called out, and I just, something was wrong. And then I heard someone calling out, and when I first got there, I heard, and I thought, oh gosh, what rowdy neighbours. Anyway, I just went outside, and I went round towards the side of the house, and I heard this other man calling out, Neil, which is her husband, so I ran around, and Joe was on the ground, and I said, call an ambulance straight away. So I was able to pray with her and just comfort her until the ambulance arrived and her husband got there, and it was just a very calm, controlled situation, which could have been quite a bad situation. But I was just thankful that I obeyed the Lord's calling to just go round anyhow for this minute, unimportant, really, thing. But anyway, so, but the Lord guides us, and I was grateful for that because she rang me when she'd got home a few hours later that she was okay, but she just appreciated the prayer and the help and the God's presence around there too. So I thank the Lord. He still guides me, even in the tiniest, unimportant things, which we think are unimportant.
Yeah, thanks, Barbara. And that same lady that actually was taken to hospital, I won't mention names, but she was prone to having what they call a very slight stroke, which she's had in past. TIA. Yeah. So it could have been quite serious, but the Lord undertook. And the same lady is actually a Christian in the sense of goes to a denominational church and knows Barbara quite well. And I've met her once or twice. But anyway, the Lord looks after us. Do we have any other testimonies? None? Oh, yes. Brother Tez.
Just a reading from John chapter 11. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. These are scriptures that I showed and shared with the young fellow who sat with me this morning. As a young kid, he was with Heather and I in Destiny. And over the last 14 years, he's been out in the world and so-called doing his own thing and into the drugs and everything. But I'm just amazed at how Jesus has said and how God has promised that those whom he has put his hand on, he will lose none of them. And that's what I basically shared with Harley, who was sitting next to me, to encourage him. And you know, one thing that's been happening here over the last few weeks, certainly since I've come back, is it's amazing to hear the gospel, to hear the word of God, to hear the gospel of salvation, the gospel of repentance, the gospel of eternal life that God offers to those who not only hear that gospel, but who believe in and bow to it. And I really sense that there is a real move that's starting to happen here in this very place by God over the lives of sheep, if you like, that have gone astray over the last few years. They've gone into the thickets and into blackberries and all sorts of things. But somehow or other there is now a seeking and a retrieving that is going on from Jesus Christ towards those sheep that have wandered. And the way that he does that work is through people hearing the gospel, the unadulterated word of God preached as absolute truth. And that's the blessing that is here. That is the anointing that is in this house. It is a house where I feel God is going to bring the lost flock back to himself.
Totally agree with that. You know, the Lord just stays with us. Never alone, as we sing. Never alone. He's with us no matter what. Sometimes we can feel lost, even after we've made a decision. I have, but then he's restored it. And it's good to know, but sometimes we learn by these side issues that we get involved with and know that we shouldn't or couldn't or whatever. Someone else has interfered with your experience. God hasn't let you go. He'll be with you, see you through. And on that day, he will take you. Any other testimonies? Brother Tom. Thanks, Paul.
I'd just like to carry on from where has that left off. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your dissenters from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Amen.
Amen, my brother. It's a good, good quote. Those from the east, where are we? East. And down south. Praise God. But of course, if you're one of his, you'll be received anyway. Any other testimonies? Okay, let's have one more before Howard comes. We are heirs of the Father, number 141. Shall we stand as we sing?
We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of this King.
The words, the lines on this song as we sing it all again, because it's just the time of the year, the time of the circumstances that the Lord is coming.
We are heirs of the Father, we are joined with the Son.
We are one. We are one.
may be seated. Thank you, Brother Howard. Just maybe think about the folks overseas. Those people are a part of us. They may not be in a group because of the circumstances, but they're still loved as one by our Lord. May the Lord bless them.
Amen. I believe that too. Just good to see the Spirit of God move on people this morning. Really good. Just take it from me if they were really touched. And we just pray that it'll just be the beginning, as Brother Tez says, of greater things to come. Praise the Lord. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's Word before we come to the table of the Lord. And I want to turn to John chapter 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Praise be to God. Also like to turn to St. John chapter 12, verse 30, which says, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. May God bless his word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to thee, our loving Heavenly Father, the Saviour of our souls, the healer of our bodies, our joy giver, our peace. We come to thee, Lord, we just pray for a few moments. You'll just open your word to our hearts afresh before we come around your table. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak about the simplicity of salvation. You know, it's salvation is so simple that people miss it. They walk right over the top of it. And I just want to speak about that. Salvation is approached today in such a complicated way. You will be amazed how people mess it up and make it so hard for people. And this is by sincere, dedicated people. But they mess it up and make it complex. But it is not of God. And they're struggling and striving with no victory. And it can apply to all of us here. We need to just search our own hearts for a few moments. Their human reasoning and intellect frustrates the grace of God. I want to read from Galatians 2:21 in regard. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. They frustrate the grace of God. In Romans 10:22, we read, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So they're running around, but they're not according to the scriptures. They're not doing it right. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, his righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Just so simple, isn't it? So today we wanted to stay with thus saith the Lord. Straight from the book. Straight from the Bible. And looking unto Jesus to live. Our opening scripture is so clear and so simple. Israel in the wilderness had all been afflicted with snake bites. It wasn't very good. They seen snakes and they're all being bitten. Like the world today, have been afflicted by sin. And the end result is they'll die unless something happens. They've been afflicted by sin, which brings death. And all Israel had to do, I know this sounds simple, but all they had to do was look at that pole and live. Well, I can't do that. I've got to spend more time in prayer. I need to be a better Christian. He didn't say that. Look and live. And they would have, as they did, they just looked. They looked at that brazen serpent, which is a brass serpent, which represent on a pole, which represents sin judged. Because brass represents divine judgment and the snake represents our sin. And it was judged on the pole. And we know where that took place, at Calvary. Just look at the serpent that was on the brazen pole. As a perfect shadow of the Lord, as we said, on the pole at Calvary. I want to also read from John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There it is. He connects it. That whosoever believeth in him, that's all you've got to do, should not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that really good reading? Who thinks this is wonderful reading? I think it's wonderful. Not only was our sin judged and paid for in full, praise be to God, it was paid for in full. It wasn't just judged. Just one moment, someone's coming. So what did they have to do? Just look and believe that their sins were paid for. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Just look and live. Some people can't accept that. It's too simple, brother. Come on, we want something deeper than that. I think it's pretty deep. It required faith. With 2 million people camped on the ground, and maybe they were in agony, they couldn't get up on their feet, they were suffering from the venom of the serpents, they had hardly any strength, and Moses said, just look and live. Well, you get 2 million people on the ground, and you got the brazen serpent, I don't know, maybe a couple of miles away or more, and they couldn't even see it, they're on the ground. All they had to do was just turn over, lean over by faith, and just look in the direction, and they got the healing. You can do that, Brother Paul. Amen. Just look and live. Not add to it, not try and build it up, try and make something more. Just look and live. Isn't that wonderful? Let's say praise the Lord. I just think that's so wonderful because they couldn't have seen that. Maybe their eyes were all funny because the snake bites make your eyes go funny. And they had to just by faith look in that direction. Where is it? Over there. Okay, Lord, I believe. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in Hebrews 12:2, for who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured it. It wasn't easy for him, but he endured it. Despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So that is all we have to do, is keep our eyes and hearts looking unto Jesus. As we get near the end, and things get pretty bad around here, the country, start persecuting us, or whatever it's going to happen. For they will. It's not people, it's a spirit. Evil spirits. They'll try and persecute us and do what they want to do. But brothers and sisters, all we have to do is look and live. Keep our hearts looking unto Jesus. Even Isaiah the prophet, by inspiration, said in Isaiah 45:21, "Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me. Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved." You know who that was said to one day? A little shy teenager. And the little country preacher said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, ye ends of the earth." You know who that preacher was? It's Charles Spurgeon. And he's put millions of souls into the kingdom just by stumbling into that little Presbyterian, I think it was, church on a cold, snowy night. He stumbled in there half frozen. He wouldn't even go in there normally, but to get shelter. And he heard that, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." And he was saved from that day onwards. Hallelujah. Who believes in the Lord's power to save? Yeah. Oh, man, and that man has preached a straight gospel ever since. He's never deviated, just stays with the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. We love God's servants, wherever they are. So we just have to keep looking. Praise be to God. God has made the salvation of your soul so simple that even a little child can understand it. Just receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. "Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior." They mean it, saved. Now maybe they can't hardly read the Bible, but they believe. There's no excuse why anyone cannot be saved. There's no excuse in Gisborne why anyone cannot be saved. Do you believe that? Including Robert. God, is anything too hard for our Lord? No. He can save to the uttermost. There is a wonderful testimony in the Bible about this very thing. I love it. And I'll read it from Paul and Silas have been cast into prison, Acts 16:23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God with sore backs and foot in the stocks. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. I tell you, there was an anointing in that prison house. The guard, kneeling at the prisoner's feet, shaking, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So Paul must have thought, well, I'll find a good book. Let me just find a book here that'll have something about that. And I'll get you to read this every day. No, he said, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house."
Hallelujah.
The members of your family. Kimberly, too. Who believes that?
Amen.
Can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I love that verse. Just so wonderful. And thy house. God is a good God. What a simple and glorious answer Paul and Silas gave the jailer. And you know what? It's exactly the same answer today. The same answer if you say, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do for my family to be saved?" Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I don't have to pass an exam or live a perfect life or study and pray, and those things are all good and you will do. As good as they are in their place, they'll never save you. No, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the brother came up, Brother Taz. What did you say his name was again? Armin. Harley Davidson. He came up and he said, "Brother, I want prayer." He said, I have needs. He said, but really what I have is a need in my soul. So you got the right things right. Pray for my soul and God will take care of your body. Do you believe that? He did it all at the same time. When he went to Calvary, by his stripes you were healed. And his blood was shed for your sins. Hallelujah. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So, I want to ask you a question. What drove Jesus to the pole? Yes. But what made him go there? Divine love. Love put him on the pole. Nothing else but divine love for you and me. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." I just want to say this. Smith Wigglesworth, at a very large meeting, came out to the platform. They said you could hear a pin drop for the reverence. We need the reverence. God help us. Great reverence in the meeting. And he came up to the microphone. He just made this statement with such compassion. I probably can't do it as he did it. But he just said this: "For God so loved the world." And they said the whole congregation just started weeping. "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life." Don't you think that's a wonderful scripture?
Amen.
He so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent him down, the Savior of our soul. I love the Lord. And Jesus said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again. And you know what happened? Brother Paul, you know what happened? He did it. He didn't just speak words. He did it. He laid his life down and he picked it up again. Why? He was God. manifest in the flesh. And God moved with great love and compassion. And he did the only thing he could do. He came down to a lower place, leaving heaven's glory, identifying with our sin. A terrible experience for the Lord Jesus. None of us can understand the horror that he went through. And he died for us. Right there. With you on his mind. I want to get Pauline. I want her back home. And Howard. And Keith. Is anyone else he had in mind? Sister Shirley. He had you in mind. In Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you realize that Jesus could have got out of that? He could have got out of Calvary just like that. But he knew you had to be saved, Ingrid. He knew I had to be saved. He knew all his children had to be saved. And he willingly laid down his life for us. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Jesus paid it all. So what can any person do now? All they have to do is believe by looking on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You know, it's a really great thing to get amongst a whole lot of unsaved people, Brother Taz, and just preach this. It's going to be wonderful. The brothers are going up the coast soon. Brother Harold's going up there. Brother Charlie, they're going to preach the gospel. That's good, brothers. May God bless you in it. With Brother Bill. He's got a group up there. Others he knows. May God richly bless them. Maybe we all could go up one weekend when it gets established. That'd be really wonderful. We'll all go up. Won't that be wonderful? Bring your saxophone, guitars, keyboards. Yes. Should not perish but have everlasting life. It's that simple. People must realize it's that simple. They think, oh, I'm not good enough yet. I've been so bad. I've done this, I've done that. I haven't even been to church for 10 years. Nothing to do with it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Another scripture says in Romans 10:8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, brothers and sisters, everywhere in the Bible, you should be preaching this tomorrow. When you meet people on the street, say, you can be saved today. You don't have to be a preacher. Just say what Jesus said. He died for the sins of the world. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's why I also get people to pray sometimes when they come forward. I said, I can pray for you and I will. But I think you need to do your own praying. God wants to hear from you. And you ask the Lord to come and save you. Oh, it's so powerful. When they ask, it's between them and God. Not between them and the preacher and God. No, no. Isn't that wonderful? Who believes it's wonderful, the salvation of the Lord? So nothing more you can do but believe on him. For if we sin, the Bible says in John, 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So tell them that. Yes, you are a sinner. Yes, exactly right. We're not questioning you're a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all born in sin. To say we're not sinners, We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins with the mouth, in the heart, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not just the real bad sins, all unrighteousness. Nowhere does God condemn a sinner. Nowhere. Let us read on. John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's beautiful, isn't it? But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You are not condemned. Don't let the devil shove that down your throat. You over there, overseas. Don't let the devil shove that down your throat. He's not condemning you. He's wanting to save you. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Your own unbelief condemns you because you have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why does it say he is condemned already? Because without believing on the Lord, you are left in your sin. When you came to this world, you're heading for hell. Everyone is heading for hell when you came to this world. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is the simplicity of salvation. We were sinners to start with. So if we do not believe on him, we are left in our sin. It's hard to understand why people won't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ except to say, as the Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, our Lord, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. May the Lord be merciful. God never condemns any man. They condemn themselves. Whoa, listen to this. They condemn themselves because they refuse to take the way out. By just looking unto Jesus, who is glad they have accepted him by believing on him. Then we should live for him every day. Not just getting saved and live how you like. If you love the Lord and you appreciate him saving you from hell, you'll live for him. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Rejecting the world and things of the flesh which grieve him day by day. What a simple and glorious salvation we have. Let us trust him every day for our salvation and healing, which were both wrought at Calvary at the same time. Let us never deny or doubt him ever again. Thank you, Lord. Who's that glad they're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm healed. You're all healed. You're saved. If Jesus was here and say, Lord, would you please come and heal me? He can't. Lord, please heal me. I cannot. Why, Lord? I've already done it. Come over here. Lord, I want to be saved. Save me, Lord. Save me from this world. So I can't. Why? I've already done it. When he said at Calvary, it is finished. It was. All you have to do is say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Shall we just stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the simplicity of salvation, that even a little child can understand the goodness of the Lord. I just pray, Lord, you'll create faith in every heart. Those out there too listening in, maybe they've struggled for years trying to be a Christian, trying to be in the bride or something, when you've already provided a way. Lord, give us a simple faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Those that are looking for the children's salvation, Lord, may they just take that scripture to heart. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Believe. Let's sing this. Or just come around the table. Oh, be believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I'm just going to read this.